Now we'll turn in our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, and we commence reading at verse number 14. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained 2 other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Just let's bow our heads in a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word, and I pray that thou will help me to rightly divide thy word of truth. Bless us, Lord God, as we would hear what the Lord would say, and help us, our God, then to go out and to do the good and perfect will of the Lord. We ask these things in the Savior's precious name, and for Jesus' sake and his glory alone. Amen. Amen. Now we find that the 24th and 25th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel, they go together. In Matthew chapter 24, we find that the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus leaves and departs from the temple, and he's making his way to the Mount of Olives. And of course, as he was leaving the temple, the disciples, his disciples, they looked upon these temple buildings, the temple complex. They were impressive buildings, and they had a certain pride in them. And so the Lord's disciples came to the Master, and the Bible says in chapter 24, verse 1, they came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. In other words, they wanted to let the Lord Jesus Christ to see the glory of the buildings of the temple, not appreciating that the Lord Jesus Christ knew more about the temple complex than any of them would ever know. Now, in response to them, what they desired to show the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ alarms them in verse number 2 of that chapter. And he says, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And so the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about the destruction of the temple. They were priding in it, and the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, I see the temple complex and the wonder and the beauty of the architecture and all of that that is there in the temple. But he said, there is coming the day that not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, whenever the Lord Jesus said that, they were rather disturbed at that, and they were alarmed at what he said, and they wanted to ask the Lord Jesus Christ about that. And so the Bible says in verse 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And so they wait. They leave the temple, they make their way up the Mount of Olives, and as the Lord Jesus Christ sits down privately upon the Mount of Olives, they come privately to him and inquire of him about this traumatic event that he has mentioned to them. Of course, it is important. They did the right thing. They got with the Master alone. They went alone with the Master. The Bible says that they came unto him privately, because this was a matter of serious concern for them, and they didn't understand it, and therefore they came alone, and they spent time privately with the Master inquiring of him. Friend, that's a good omen for us to remember, because you and I need to spend time with the Master. You and I need to spend time to learn from Christ, to pray to him, and have fellowship with him. Now, of course, whenever he spoke about this, they said, tell us when. When shall these things be? But notice the when that they were talking about. What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? They believed that this traumatic event could only happen. It would definitely be the end of the world if such a thing happened and this temple was destroyed. Now, of course, that wasn't true. You and I know that it was 40 years later. 40 years later, A.D. 70, the army came in and they flattened that city of Jerusalem and the temple buildings. And they said, well, this has got to be the end of the world. But it wasn't. But you and I are nearly 2,000 years nearer to the end than they were at this particular time. And I believe that we're living in the last of the last days before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whenever they asked this question of the Savior, the Lord knew that they were earnest about their inquiry. They knew they were genuine. And so the Lord Jesus Christ taught them. They said, tell us. Verse number 4 says, Jesus answered and said unto them. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is going to tell them. But in the telling of this, the Lord Jesus Christ does speak about his coming, because he says, tell us, what shall be the sign of thy coming? And you'll notice in chapter 24 and in chapter 25, over and over again, the Lord Jesus Christ mentions the fact of his coming again. Now, of course, you'll notice that in the Word of God, that it makes it clear that the end of the world will come, but the end is not yet. It is not yet. Look at the end of verse number 6. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. But friends, what I want you to notice is this. Whilst it was true, the end is not yet. It is coming. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And in light of that, you'll notice in chapter 24 and verse number 44, it says, therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And whilst it's true, the end is not yet. And it was true there when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking unto those disciples. And we're nearly 2,000 years on from that. The end is not yet. But remember this, we are nearing the end. We're nearing the time when the Lord Jesus Christ will fold up this old world. Because this world is not going to last forever. And you and I, it says, in the light of that, therefore be ye also ready. What that simply means is be prepared. And friend, let me tell you this. That's the important thing this morning, that you and I are ready. Whether it is for death itself, or whether it is for whatever the situation in life, or even eternity itself, when Jesus Christ shall come, it says be prepared, be ready for his coming. Now, in chapter 24, the Lord Jesus speaks about the fact of his coming. But then when you turn to chapter 25, I believe that we have there some of the effects of his coming, or the implications of his coming, implications on the world, implications on those who believe in Christ, implications upon the ungodly. But also we see here that that day will have an effect even upon the religious ungodly. That is, those that come to church and those that maybe even look upon themselves as a part of the church, and they're within the church, and yet they have no saving relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, it is possible this morning for a person to get into membership, even to go through an interview and get into membership of a visible church, and yet not be members of the body of Christ, not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, simply having a profession, but no repentance, no salvation, not prepared and not ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, let me tell you this, that day of the coming of the Lord has implications for that person, the professor without possession, and has indeed implications for the wicked and the ungodly of this world that have no time for God, and implications for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, very quickly, if you look in Matthew chapter 25, the opening of it is concerning the kingdom of heaven being likened unto 10 virgins. And of course, in Bible times, a wedding's taking place here. And in Bible times, a wedding would take place whenever the bridegroom would make his way to the home of the bride to bring her to his home as his wife. And taking the bride to the home of the bridegroom was a great occasion. And you know, there would be a procession as they would make their way from the bridegroom's home to the bride's home, and then they would proceed and bring the bride home, and the marriage would take place. Now, what would happen was this, that people would be in the procession. People would meet them along the route of the procession, and they would join in the procession, friends of the bride, or as it speaks here about the virgins on this occasion. And then finally, they would make it home to the bridegroom's house, and they would celebrate with a great feast. And whenever they would arrive home, all the guests would enter in through the door, and then the door would be shut before the feast would get ready. And when the door was shut, then no one else could participate. No one else could enter in. Now, waiting along the route of this procession were 10 virgins. We find that these virgins, they were waiting for the procession of the bridegroom and the bride. The procession had already started. They were making their way to the bridegroom's house. But the bridegroom delayed his coming. And because of the lateness of the hour, it was important that every virgin, every guest would have a lamp, a light to lighten up the way. The Bible tells us the bridegroom tarried, and then at midnight, a cry went up and said, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." And the virgins stirred themselves, because here was the procession going past. And my, they all stirred themselves, and they all got their lamps ready to go into the procession. But 5 found that they had no oil. Notice, friend, listen, they all were called the same name. It says 10 virgins. They all had the same name. You notice they were all in the same company. You notice, my friend, they had all the same symbols in their hands. They had all the same professions, because even, remember, they came to the door after the cry, "Lord, Lord." The same, had the same professions. But friend, 5 of them were foolish. 5 of them were shut out. Why? Because they weren't saved. They weren't ready. They had no oil. They weren't born of the Spirit of God. And so it's possible to be in the church. It's possible to sing the hymns. It's possible to read the Bible. It's possible to go through all the ceremonies and rituals of any denomination and yet not be ready. Because the Lord Jesus said to these virgins, when they said, "Lord, Lord, open on," he says, "I know you not. You're not mine. You are not mine. You have the verbiage, you've got the language, but you're not mine. You're not mine." There was no genuine
salvation. There was no genuine repentance, and the door was shut. Now notice in verse 13 of chapter 25, it says this, "Watch therefore." And the word there, "watch," there is be ready. Be alert to your real spiritual condition. It says, "For ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And friend, it is important that each and every one today in this service, that everyone is ready. Not just by a profession. Not hold in and say, "Well, listen, well, I made a profession sometime in my life." But friend, listen, is it genuine? Are you genuinely living for Christ? Is there the very traits and marks and characteristics of true repentance in your heart and true salvation? Or are you relying on something that perhaps is empty and false and is not real? Now, the Lord Jesus expands upon that great reality with this parable that he mentions from verse 14 down to verse number 30. And he says this, "The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants, delivered unto them his goods." Now, the kingdom of heaven describes the church on earth. And here we find, remember what Peter said, judgment must begin at the house of God. And there are lessons to be learned here in this parable. Now, the chief thought is stewardship. And that's important. But this parable also shows us that as the Lord sifts through the saints, he finds those who are never saved. And friend, that's why the Word of God says, make your calling and election sure. Now, the Bible illustrates, and the Lord illustrates solemn truth here, using a story, an ordinary story, about a man who travels into a far country. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country." And the Bible, when it says there travel, it means the word traveling there means is about to travel. He's in the point of going. He's about to go away from one's people. And the story, it's not the same story, but he told a similar parable. It's not the same parable that our brother McKee read this morning in Luke chapter 19. But the emphasis is this man was going away, but in Luke chapter 19, verse 12, it says, "and to return." And that's the emphasis here. This man was going away for a long time, but he was going to return. He was coming back again. And friend, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ was telling here, yes, that I am going away. The Lord Jesus Christ was going away, yes, into a far country. He was going to eternity. He was going into heaven itself. But the Lord was going to come back again. The Lord Jesus Christ was coming back again. And in the story of Luke chapter 19, he not only told them that he was going away, he not only entrusted them with pounds, but then it says this, he said, "You occupy till I come." In other words, you use those wisely till, because I am coming back again. Be busy with the pound, be busy with the talent, be busy with the deposit that God has entrusted you with. Now, we as stewards, those who are saved, stewardship means this: someone who manages something that belongs to someone else. Someone who manages something that belongs to someone else. And there's something that God requires of us in the managing. It's being faithful. Being faithful in the discharge of our duty. Faithfully managing that which God has given to us, that which God has entrusted to us. Now, what is the Lord, what is this man entrusted to his servants? Notice verse 14. He delivered unto him his goods. His goods. Or his talents. It speaks about his talents here. His goods. Or it says, if you go on down in the passage of God's word, the Lord's money. The Lord's money. He entrusts them with talents. He entrusts them with a deposit of goods. But remember, they're his. And that's something that's important for you and me, friend, whilst we're waiting on the Lord coming. Remember this. We don't manage what we have of ourselves. We manage that which God has given to us. You're not your own. You are bought with a price. God has delivered unto you his goods. And the word delivered means to give out. He has given out his goods, and God has given out to his children today. God has given us talents. And do you remember the disciples before the Lord Jesus Christ left them? He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You occupy till I come, because I am coming again. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. Now, very quickly, I want you to notice four simple things here. First, notice the distribution. The Bible tells us, it says there in verse 15, unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one. Here's a distribution of the talent. Now, the word talents denotes a large sum. A large sum. This was an endowment conferred upon these servants for wise investment. In other words, their talents that were given were of great value. But notice the giving of the talents was the master's prerogative. He gave as he willed. He gave to one five. He gave to one two. He gave to one one. Because it's the master's prerogative whenever he is dividing his goods, it's the master's prerogative to give as he wills. But how does he do it, friend? He just doesn't look and say, well, you know, I just love that one better than anybody else. And so I give him the five. Don't like him just as good as the first, and I give him two. And well, I know he's mine, but I don't really like him. I'll give him one. No, no. Notice what the Word of God says. Look at verse 15. And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one. Mark this. To every man according to his several ability. To every man according to his several ability. In other words, according to his own or his peculiar capacity for business. God endows us with responsibilities and opportunities which match our abilities. God doesn't make demands of us that he knows that we're not able for. God did not give each man the same number of talents, but the Lord gave them according to their several ability. Maybe you're here this morning and say, well, the Lord hasn't given me as much as he's given somebody else. But for God knows. God knows what best serves his interest and the kingdom, his kingdom's interest. And God gives to every one of his children according to their ability. Now, God does not task us with something we're not able to do. And therefore, if God gives you a task to do, friend, listen. And God gives you, therefore, the talent to do it. God has given you, he knows you have the ability to do it. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? You see, there's no use to say God didn't give me the same number as the rest. It's not the quantity of the work. It's the quality. And you know, some people are caught up with quantity today. And God's not caught up with the quantity of your work. Because God gave to one five, because that was according to his ability. And God gave to one two, and that was according to his ability. And God gave to one the responsibility of one talent, because that was according to his ability. The distribution was done not because God loved some of his children more than others. God doesn't love the preacher more than he loved the person in the pew to put him in the pulpit. God didn't love people who are elders more than the people who voted them in into the eldership. God didn't love the Sabbath school teachers more than the pupils. But God loves and God gives, and God knows what best serves his interest
Because remember, friend, we're to do all things and have only one interest. It's the glory of God. It's not you. It's not me. Forget about you. Forget about me. It's the Lord's work. Listen, it's His goods. It's not mine. Oh, look what I'm doing for the Lord. Friend, forget it. If it's about you, or if it's about me, friend, let me tell you, it'll fall. It'll be nothing. It's His goods. God has given us talents to manage. And they're His. And we are to serve Him in the place where God wants us. And that brings me to the second point. Not only the distribution. Notice their duty. Notice their duty. It says in verse number 15, every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Notice the first thing it says. It says, he that received the 5 talents went. Went. There's an immediate application to business. Not a bit of wonder he got the 5 talents. Because here was a man that was willing and able to apply them. He went. And the Word of God tells us that he went and he traded with the same. Traded means to work or to labor or to do work. He did business with them. He wrought with them. He usefully employed the talents which God had given and committed to him. Do you know what he did? He just did what he was commissioned to do. He did what the Lord told him. This man didn't do anything more. No, he just simply did what the master said. He invested what was given profitably. I hear some people, you know, that try to take away from the servant and say, but, you know, did he not put his talents to risk to invest them all? I don't believe, friend, that God has called you and me to a place of safety. I believe that, indeed, you and I are to go out and we are to do what we can for the Lord. And God didn't call us. You say, well, listen, could it have failed? Have you ever failed? Have you ever failed? I have. But friend, did you learn a lesson? What did you learn out of that failure? Have you become stronger? If there's somebody said to me this morning, I've never failed, friend, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. If you're putting yourself out there, my friend, listen, you'll be under the attack of the devil and all the rest of it. Yes, and it may seem at times there's failure, but I want to tell you this. You walk in the center of God's will and do what God wants you to do, and God will give you the ability to complete the job. You'll not end the failure. And if you fall, you get up in Jesus' name and look unto Him, and He'll give you the strength to go on, friend. And this man says, Lord, I'm taking the talents you give me. I'm putting myself out. Because, Lord, I have your commission. Lord, I'm trusting you. And likewise, the second man did the same. Look at verse number 17. Likewise, he that had received 2 talents, he also received other 2. In other words, they did their duty. But then notice something else. We'll come back. We're leaving one man just for a moment. Because I just read what the Holy Ghost says. Verse 18, he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Maybe there's somebody doing that today. It's because you haven't 5. Just because you haven't 2. You digging in the earth and just say, well, listen, I'm doing nothing. I'm doing nothing for the Lord. Let me tell you, God didn't call everybody ministers. God didn't call everybody elders. God didn't call everybody to Sunday school teachers. But God did call everybody to be a servant and to work for Him. Notice discovery. Because I want you to notice this, friend, and whether we finish, get able to get through this or not this morning, listen, verse number 19. After a long time, the Lord of his servant cometh. And be sure of this, no matter how long it is, Jesus Christ is coming again. It says, of that day knoweth no man, of that hour knoweth no man, but my Father only. But Jesus Christ is coming again. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20 says, surely I come quickly. You can be dead sure of it. I come quickly. Surely. I am as sure of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what, I am more sure than I'll see tomorrow. Jesus Christ is coming again. And it says this. It says, after a long time. Remember the disciples said, Lord, tell us what the end of the world. They thought it was just the verge. Tell us when. Tell us how. But it says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. But notice the effect. Read the next words. And reckoneth with them. It's a day of reckoning. It's a day of reckoning. And you and I need to realize the word there, reckoneth, means to settle accounts. To settle account. To inquire into their faithfulness. And to reward them accordingly. And there is a lesson for everybody this morning. We will have to give an account to God. No matter how long you have, no matter how short a day you have, friend, I want to tell you, there's a day of accounting. There's a day when you will stand before God himself. And everyone will find that he's Lord and he's the master of the house. And he has the right to call to account. I hear somebody say, but preacher, does it not say in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus? That's right. But the Word of God also says in Romans chapter 14 that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And child of God, you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ and you'll give account. There's a day of reckoning for your life and mine. There's a day of count. Now for the ungodly, I saw the dead and small and great stand before God in the great white throne judgment, standing before the great King of all the earth. But what I say to you is this, you will give account. If I had time, listen, you'll give account of your talents. You'll give an account of what you're taught. You'll give an account of your time. You'll give an account of your tithing. Friend, I wish you had time to go into it. But it says this, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. The day of reckoning. And many people live lives today as if God was not in control, as if God would never call them to give an account. Let me tell you, the man who was given 5 talents gave an account. The man who was given 2 talents and he used it profitably, he gave an account. That was their duty. And thank God, if you look there in verse 21, his Lord said unto him, that's the one with the 5 talents who gained 5 more. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. And there's a wee statement here. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And I love that wee statement, and I'll tell you why. You see, the night the Lord saved me, the joy of the Lord entered into me. You see, when the Lord calls me, I enter into the joy of the Lord. Forever.
Enter thou in. Enter thou in to the joy of thy Lord. Thank God.
We can say the child of God, thank God there's a better day coming. When every child of God will enter into the fullness of the joy of the Lord. The last thought is this, the division. It says, he that had received one went and digged in the earth, and he hid his Lord's money. You see, friend, let me tell you, here was one that was amongst the rest. Just like the five foolish virgins. They're in the right company. Did all the right symbols. But the master says, I knew you not. They found out they were only imitators. You say, what about that final servant, friend? I believe he represents the religious ungodly. You see, he was called a servant. He was like Judas. Remember, Judas is in the rest of the disciples. But the Lord said, one's the devil. Here we find a servant, but his heart was not right with God. Notice, he had the words. Look at verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent come and said to him, Lord. He had the right words. But notice what the Lord says about him. He says, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He used the word Lord as if he knew the Lord. But friend, his heart wasn't right with God. His heart was not right with God. Now notice what he said. Why he did this. I'll give you this quickly. Verse number 24. He says, Lord, I knew thee. I knew that. But friend, what happens next is, no, he didn't know the Lord. I knew thee that thou art a hard man. You're a hard man. In other words, of griping disposition, taking advantage of the poor, oppressing them, grasping, ungenerous, hard to please. As he said about the master. No, I knew you. I knew you're a hard man. And then he says, I knew you reaped what you didn't sow. In other words, you were overbearing. You compelled the poor to sow for you. But you reaped all the benefits for yourself. That's what I knew about you. And then he says, you gathered where you hadn't strawed. And the word there simply means desiring to have that which doesn't rightfully belong to him. Straw means to scatter. In other words, he gathered grain where he hadn't winnowed. It had been winnowed by others. You gathered where you hadn't strawed. And he said, I was afraid. You're a demanding master. You really could never be satisfied. You'd never have enough. Lord, I knew you. What an awful description, friend. You know that man who says those things, his heart's not right with God. Because any man who knows the Lord, friend, knows that that's not Jesus. That's not our master. His mercies are new every morning. He has been bountifully blessing us over and over and over again when we didn't deserve it. He's so good to us. So loving, so kind. And he says, I was afraid of you. So I went and I hid your talent in the earth. I buried it. And then this is what he says, verse 25. There thou hast thou resigned. Here, take back what you give me. Sure, haven't you got what you gave? You can be satisfied with that. Did it work for him? Know what the Lord did, friend? He took the man's own words. And he says, by your own words you'll be judged. And the Lord Jesus said this in verse 26. The Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I had not strawed. If that's what you really believed about me, that's what Jesus said. If you really believed that that was me, if you really believed that, well then listen, why didn't you even take it? Why didn't you take my money to the exchangers and then at my coming I would have received my own with usury? In actual fact, he used the excuse that the man made to convict himself. I wish you had time to go into that. Friend, let me tell you, excuses that men make and in their heart they have as if they give to God excuses the day of judgment, it won't work. There is a day of reckoning. There is a day of accounting. If you really believe that of me, then you should have. You're guilty by your own words. You know, friend, honestly, before God, I believe the way the man hid the talent was this. When he looked at it, it convicted him. I've given this. And so he buried it out of sight, out of sight, out of mind. But what are you doing with your talents this morning? God has been blessing you. God has been good to you. The Master's coming again, friend. And it's a day of accounts. It's a day of reckoning. What will you bring? Child of God, what will you bring on that day? The Master's returning. That servant had nothing to show. Jesus says, you're an unprofitable servant. He said, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. He wasn't one of his. I trust today that you're not relying simply on a profession, but that you are walking with God today, serving the Lord today. And then on that day, you'll enter into the joy of your Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, search out our hearts this morning. Thou knowest every one that's gathered here. Thou knowest our standing before thee. Lord, we have been so richly blessed. Lord, even the ungodly that's here have been richly blessed. They've been given another opportunity to gather in thy house. They've been another opportunity to learn thy and hear from thy word. But, oh God, I pray in Jesus' name, may they hear to the salvation of their soul. We pray that not one will leave the same way as they came in. But, oh God, that those of us who know and love thee, only one life to give. I could never withhold that from God. Bless thy word to all our hearts. Save the lost, we pray, and restore the fallen. And bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen.